This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Always great to have Brett McMurphy stop by in studio, get some insight from him. About to get underway at Wrigley Field, the Cubs taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers, our VSiN primetime game of the night, Matt Eumanns. And I do have a small bet on the Cubs plus 1.5 at plus 105. So a little run line play on the Cubs fading Mr. Skubal in his debut at Wrigley Field as a member of, I guess it's not his debut at Wrigley Field, but as debut as a
Dodger.
Yeah.
Yep. And I believe we'll check this with Jeff Sherman, but I believe over 80% of most sports books reporting more than 80% of the money bet on this game on the Dodgers tonight, Tim. So you are going against the public.
Well, not the first time, won't be the last time. And always great to check in with our good friend Jeff Sherman. And you know, we've got a little open for Mr. Sherman.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
He's got a new gig, but he's the same Jeff Sherman. You can follow him on Twitter at Golf Odds, senior risk manager here at Circa Sports.
Wait a minute. How's he senior? He's only been here 2 days.
How did you earn that senior, Jeff Sherman?
I think it has to do with my age, not my position.
Jeff Sherman joins us right now. A very overdue, but happy congratulations to you, Jeff, and excited to have you working around these parts at Circa. And I guess, what was your first order of business when you came in? Did you have to fix everything that was messed up by Jeffrey Benson?
They run an efficient operation. I'm just trying to fit in with them, and, you know, I'm not trying to change any culture. I'm coming in as a new guy, trying to add whatever value I can to these guys. They already have an efficient machine going.
I mean, you had to be happy to leave your previous place where you had to sit there and listen to Ed Sammons and John Murray yell at each other in the lunchroom every day, right?
Well, I was very good at tuning them out, so I'm good at focusing.
Jeff Sherman joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. So, Jeff, I will ask, I'm not sure how in tune you were, but about to get underway at Wrigley Field, was this a popular play? What was the action like on the Skubal debut tonight for Cubs and Dodgers?
Some very respected play on the Cubs plus 175 early this morning. And a lot of public on the Dodgers, and you see them tying up with parlays. But it's that dichotomy, sharps against the public on this one.
Jeff, how many years have you worked in sports books in Vegas? Like 25 or 30, something like that?
Yeah, since 1993. So I can't even count that high anymore.
Yeah, over 30 years. So how would you say Circa is different from some of the other books in Vegas right now? Would you say Circa takes in general sharper action than several of the other books in Vegas?
No question. They're more accommodating for the players. So, you know, you're looking for something, they try to accommodate that to the best of their ability, and it's very fair and very flexible.
Jeff Sherman joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Once again, at Golf Odds, still same Twitter handle, but new location for him. Taking a look at where we are from a basketball standpoint, we've been out for a little bit, so curious just your overall opinion. Before we get to the odds, since you are a sharp NBA mind, what did you make of the LeBron move to Philadelphia, and what do you think of that fit for him in Philly?
Well, I was surprised, as a lot of people were, but I thought if you look at it from the basketball standpoint and the salary, you know, it was about the same range you can get from the other teams. It was probably his best fit and opportunity to actually win on the basketball court with the depth that they have. And obviously they're adding pieces along the way still. So I thought it was a good choice by him if he's going to try to go for a championship. I still think that team will go as far as Embiid's going to take him with his health. And I think you're going to see this team manage Embiid and LeBron's minutes, especially on back-to-backs during the regular season. So they're going to try to focus on the playoffs, and you might not see it all of the regular season, although you do have the reaction on the season win total and most notably the title odds as a result of LeBron joining them.
I'm curious what you made of all that action that was in the prediction markets on LeBron James' next team. Tim, you and I talked about this a bunch of times. How much money was bet in those pools.
Oh, man.
On LeBron's next
$180 million.
About $200 million?
Yeah, I think total $200 million or so.
Jeff, and the money was not showing up on Philadelphia. It was on the Miami, Cleveland, Golden State. Did you watch that, and what did you make of all that?
Yeah, well, a lot of Miami late because of what was leaked out with that graphic. So that obviously swayed people to be involved with that. And, you know, it's it obviously didn't go that way. So, you know, it was you couldn't tell until the last moment. And when you read the stories in depth about it, LeBron sounded like he was undecided until the last day. So, you know, it was tough to get a read. And, you know, I didn't think it was ultimately going to be Philadelphia, but now here we are today, and you see the reaction in the marketplace.
Jeff Sherman, once again, joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. So what have you seen from that move? Because we had talked about it, and you had said you don't really think LeBron, wherever he landed, would change much. Looking at the Eastern Conference right now, and I'm looking at Circa's odds, Sixers plus 325, Knicks 3-1. It is pretty locked up top. Sixers at plus 675 right now. Is your what's your opinion on the Eastern Conference, and is there a team that you think that is intriguing from an odds value?
Well, I mean, right when that happened, I figured that those two, the Knicks and the Sixers, are 1 and 1A, and then you have to start looking beyond that, and then you can start grouping some teams. And if you're trying to find stuff now at these current prices, I mean, the only thing that I lean to is the Atlanta Hawks. I think their season win total is a little bit short. And I'm not saying they're going to go win the title or even win the East, but you might be able to work with something with the East if they can surprise during the regular season, put themselves in position. We did see in the playoffs, they were the last team to actually test the Knicks a little bit. So I think that this is a team over the course of the season that's young, that can grow like some of these teams we've seen the past couple of years and be improved enough to maybe do some damage later on relative to what the odds are right now.
Interesting. What do you make of the Warriors? What do you make of the Lakers? Is there any team that Nuggets haven't done much here in the offseason? Is there any chance any of those teams can challenge OKC or San Antonio at the top of the West?
I don't think so. I think you have such a wide gap between them. I do think the Lakers are going to be better than what people think, because from a chemistry standpoint, like what we saw to the Knicks, how they gelled, I think there's a solid chemistry left over from the Laker team last year with Doncic and Reeves, that I think that they'll be a better regular season team than what indicates out there, like 44.5 wins right now. Denver, like you said, hasn't done anything. So you do have that large drop-off from the top two.
Yeah, Nuggets haven't done much at all. Follow him at Golf Odds, Jeff Sherman of Circa Sports. And Sam Cooney's the lead golf odds maker here at Circa. Sam does a great job, but the Wyndham Championship is up this week. Cameron Young is the favorite here at Circa. Jeff, just kind of give us a view, big picture, where we are in the golf season as we head toward the playoffs.
Yeah, it's the last one going into the playoffs next week. So you have people positioning to get in the top 70 to make it to next week. You have Cameron Young, the 8-1 favorite. Jackson Koivun, coming off his win a couple weeks ago, is just short of 16-1. I played two golfers. I played these guys last week. I mentioned them on your guys' show. Ryan Gerard, 30-1. Davis Thompson, 50-1. They're both playing very well, finished top 10 last week. I like just the consistency and the form that these guys are in can translate to this type of course.
Davis Thompson's a guy I bet a few times in the past. Former Georgia Bulldog, right? I believe he is.
Yeah, and he had his struggles, but he's coming out of them, and the last month has been a lot better, like what we've seen earlier on.
Yeah, his form's been better recently. Jeff, Thursday night, we got the first NFL preseason game, Hall of Fame game. Here at Circa, Panthers minus one. The total at DraftKings last night was 36.5. It's now 35.5. How do you think this game is going to be bet Thursday night, Panthers and Cardinals?
Well, you have Kenny Pickett against Carson Beck, so we know those are out, and that's what the move was on the Panthers today from pick to Carolina one. Total dip down with that Beck information, so I think the total will continue to go downward. I could see this game coming back to about pick them. I mean, it's just that's what this Hall of Fame game feels like. These guys aren't going to play too much, whoever's even out there. So I think it will go down before it goes up.
Jeff Sherman at Golf Odds is where you can find him on Twitter. And Jeff, update on where we sit now that you're a member of the Circa Sports team on Survivor Millions, expecting big numbers coming in this week with Bet Bash?
Absolutely. I mean, we're ahead of pace from what we were last year on both Millions and Survivor. So it's trending very well, and we expect to finish that way. So really looking forward to it. And you just feel the energy approaching football season.
In fact, let's see. Right now, Survivor's at 5,574 entries. Tim and I debated this last night on the show. Jeff, if you had to take a guess, where do you think that number will end up in Survivor?
Oh, man, I don't even know what we ended up with last year.
18,700, I believe, right, Tim?
Yes, 18,700, yeah. Yep, in that ballpark, yep.
Okay, then I would have to expect it passes 20,000. That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I've got 22,250, and Tim, what'd you have, 23,000?
I guess, yeah, I put 23,000 down last night was my guess in that ballpark. Hey, Jeff, congrats on the new gig. We look forward to talking to you every week with a new job nowadays.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Jeff Sherman, Circus Sports Senior Risk Manager now.
Yeah, it's great to have Jeff over here at Circus Sports. Like I said, I've known him since over 25 years, so does a great job. And Derek Stevens continues to put together the strongest team here. I think 22,000 in Circus Survivor is definitely realistic.
Yeah.
I know last year, 18,700, but this is one of those contests I feel like it's going to get bigger and bigger because of the money in the pot. It's like a lottery. It's like a lottery ticket, Tim. You can use your football knowledge to hit a lottery-type payoff, and like a lot of people are drawn to this. And like you said, BetBass is going to bring a bunch of entries in this week.
Matt, we've got a little bit of an announcement. We teased it yesterday.
Oh, that's right. We're going to do that now?
Yeah, we're going to tell people about our announcement next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Game of the night is underway. Matt Eumanns, Wrigley Field, as Pete Crow Armstrong will lead things off here against Tarik Skubal. Skubal's first pitch as a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers, a 96-mile-an-hour strike.
Second pitch lands on Sheffield Avenue. Pete Crow Armstrong goes deep. No, he didn't.
That'd be nice. Huh? That would have been nice. I would have been a little happier if that were the case. 0-2 count underway. Scoreless first inning for Javier Assad. Let's update folks on where we sit across Major League Baseball here on a strong evening. The Boston Red Sox, despite his tweets to me, are winning by a lot right now. So you would have thought that the madman Chris Mussera would be happy right now. But it is 6-0 Boston with the lead. How about a 6-run first inning, Matt? Caleb Durbin, grand slam for the Boston Red Sox. And then next up, Jaron Duran went yard as well. So it is now 6-0. But bases loaded here in the top of the fourth inning. Red Sox and White Sox.
Two outs. White Sox, like you said, bases loaded, 1-2 count. We'll see if they can get back in this game. We get Sandoval, the lefty. And he did not go around there. That's going to be a 2-2 count. The Skubal showdown here with Pete Crow Armstrong to start off the bottom of the first in Wrigley Field. We'll see who wins this one. The strikeout prop tonight for Tarik Skubal was 7.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right now, live odds have the Dodgers minus $1.66, Cubs plus +144. Pete Crow Armstrong down on strikes, so there is first strikeout for Skubal as he strikes out Pete Crow Armstrong on a knee-high fastball. So a six pitch at bat goes the way of the two-time reigning AL Cy Young winner. So it is a strong start here for Skubal, and right now the Dodgers, $1.64 favorite. Seiya Suzuki, who, you know, he hit a home run yesterday in the first inning. I'd be okay with him hitting a home run in tonight's first inning.
Yeah, but I don't think you can call your shot, so we'll see what happens here. We got a full count, by the way. White Sox Red Sox, and we'll see what happens here. White Sox desperately need a hit here to get back into this game. But like you said, you know, when you got a team as hot as the Red Sox, you don't want to bet against that team. And I guess you could even argue it was kind of a cheap price tonight, around $1.45 on Boston, and that's going to be a ground out, and the White Sox are not going to get on the board. End of the inning, 6-0 Boston.
Quick update from Milwaukee. You've talked about it the last couple of nights, Matt, that Milwaukee seems to be headed in the wrong direction. They get shut out by the Angels on Sunday. They lose last night to the Pirates. Logan Henderson gave up a homer in the top of the third inning to the Pirates here, and that has a 1-0 lead for Pittsburgh, top of the third inning against the Milwaukee Brewers. So right now, the Pirates, slight favorites against the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee. Brewers getting a little, is this the August swoon here for the Milwaukee Brewers? Right now, as they have dropped a couple in a row, and early lead for the Pittsburgh Pirates against Milwaukee.
Brewers have had a couple stretches of bad baseball. Now, almost every team does when you're talking about a marathon six-month season, but I have been a little bit concerned with how the Brewers have played. And when you have Miz on the mound against a hapless team like the Angels, you cannot lose that game 3-0. And then you come home and you're going to drop possibly back-to-back games to the Pirates. It's going to be sweat time for Milwaukee if they can't get out of this funk. You got to beat teams like the Angels and the Pirates. Come on.
Still scoreless Wrigley Field. Skubal on the hill. Off to a strong start. Got Seiya Suzuki to fly out to shallow center field after striking out P-Crow Armstrong. Alex Bregman at the plate right now for the Chicago White Sox, for the Chicago Cubs, I beg your pardon. Bregman has had pretty strong success against Skubal over his career, 6-for-12 with a double and a home run, and he hits one foul down the left field line. Packed house tonight, no surprise there, at Wrigley Field for this big-time showdown between the Dodgers and the Cubs.
Well, it's not just because of Skubal pitching tonight. The Cubs are playing great baseball right now. They're right back in it.
2-0 lead for the Yankees, as mentioned, as the Yankees have moved to -$11 on the live line. Matt, the circuit
seems like a little bit too much. I was just saying, you know, we're in the sixth inning already in the Bronx. Man, that game is moving fast.
Yeah, that game is moving quick. By the way, Skubal, as Freddie Freeman does what Freddie Freeman does, great pick in the dirt. Skubal, 1-2-3 inning for his Dodgers debut, a strikeout. And we head to the second inning there at Wrigley Field. Scoreless between the Cubs and Dodgers. Total sitting now at 7.5. Dodgers -$1.77 on the money line.
All right, let's get on with this big announcement.
Well, before we get to the announcement, just a reminder, folks, the Circus Survivor documentary is heating up, and tomorrow's episode is called The Turning Point, for good reason. In week 5, for the first time in Circus Survivor history, the number one pick of the week goes down in flames on a Thursday night, and the chaos that follows is unlike anything the contest has ever seen. By the time week 6 through 9 play out, the contenders separate from the pretenders, and the pressure gets very real. $18.7 million is on the line. Watch the next episode tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. Need to catch up? Episodes 1 and 2 on YouTube right now. Just search VSiN Live. All right, Matt, I wanted to play a clip from an interview we had a couple weeks ago. Our good friend, head coach of the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, Timmy Chang, came in studio, Matt, and he had some very positive things to say about our trip last year out to Hawaii. You've made some good friends when they're not even at Circa anymore, unfortunately, but Timmy Chang, the head coach of Hawaii, kind enough to make his way down after doing your duties at Media Day to hang out with us, get ready for the 2026 season. Coach, 9-4 last year, Hawaii Bowl victory. How are we feeling right now?
I tell you what, I would not have missed this for the world. So thank you, gentlemen. And really, our relationship has just really blossomed. I mean, having you guys out for week 0, you know, talk about the 9-4 season, having you guys out for week 0 at our home campus, kicking off the season the right way, you know, in our home state. Thank you for you guys to show up and bringing us all that good energy, that mana, that luck, Tokyo Toe.
It's when the Tokyo Toe, it started against Stanford.
Yeah. How special. I mean, I did not know that he was going to be, mm-hmm. you know, unanimous All-American. And what a special season 2025 was. And so.
Well, he was very complimentary. He said we gave him the good luck, Matt. So you know what? What do you say we do it again?
It's not going to be easy to give Hawaii that much good luck where they win every time we show up. But that was the case last year.
It was the case. They won't be playing their week zero game out in Hawaii, but that doesn't mean we're not headed out there. So August 26th, Wednesday night, we will have a special edition of VSiN Primetime live from Hawaii. And then, Matt, you and I will do our Thursday preview episode of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We'll get you ready for week zero, 8 games between FBS teams in week zero this year, as well as we'll talk about our favorite season-long bets. So we'll have 2 broadcasts. We will do VSiN Primetime. It'll be a special college football preview episode Wednesday, August 26th, and then the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast live from Hawaii, presented by our good friends at Rainbow Authentic. So we're doing it again, Matt. We're hitting the road, and we're headed to Honolulu before the Rainbow Warriors head to the Bay Area to take on Stanford in week zero, a game that you and I will both attend
That's right. It's going to be up in Palo Alto. And, you know, I prefer Hawaii to play a home game week zero every year.
Yep.
And I know Timmy Chang would probably like to do that as well, but they got this contract with Stanford, and they'll try to get a sweep of the Cardinal. But I'm fired up for college football.
Can't wait.
We're only a few weeks away, Tim. We're almost there.
3 weeks from Saturday will be the start of the college football season. And 3 weeks from tomorrow, Matt, we will be live from Hawaii doing our show there. Looking forward to that. We're going to talk to Timmy Chang, of course, but we're also just going to get ready for the college football season Hawaii style out in Honolulu.
Yeah, I mean, if this were a road trip, if you brought this idea to me and this road trip were to Iowa or Arkansas.
No offense.
I wouldn't go.
Matt, do you like Hawaii? I can't remember.
I love Hawaii. It's going to be great to be out there. I went to 3 Hawaii games last year. They went 3-0. The bookend games of the season, the comeback win against Stanford in week zero that you and I were sweating out on the sideline, and then the bowl game against Cal on Christmas Eve. Incredible game. Hawaii falls down 21-0, comes back to win 35-31. Flies over the total. Those two games to begin and end the season were incredible wins for Timmy Chang during that 9-4 season.
Thanks to our friends over at Rainbow Authentics, Mike Kawazoe and company. We're headed back to Honolulu. Me and Matt will be out there for a couple of shows 3 weeks from tomorrow. Road tripping with VSiN Primetime out to Hawaii for a college football preview prior to Hawaii and Stanford.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Newmans, I'm Tim Murray. We're going to catch up with Joe DeLeon here, talk a little more college football in just a moment, Matt. But before we do so, let's update the folks on our game of the night. Dodgers on the board. Kyle Tucker homers against his former team. They were booing him at Wrigley Field. He said, "Boo this!" and hit a homer to left field off of his former teammate, Javier Assad. So 1-0 Dodgers in the bottom of the second inning as Michael Busch steps to the plate against Tarik Skubal. Update from Milwaukee. The Brewers have tied it up. Jackson Churio, a solo homer in the bottom of the third inning. So that game is tied at 1 apiece. And Matt, Yankee Stadium, hashtag Yankees update. The Yankees up 2-0 on the Cardinals, heading to the bottom of the sixth. And how about in his big league debut, George Lombard Jr. has gone yard.
It's going to make a lot of people happy. Yankees fans have wanted to see Lombard up at the majors for quite a while, and they got tired of watching Anthony Volpe, and I did too. Lombard comes up tonight, and he homers. Last night, Luis Garcia homered in his first game with the Yankees. So those changes are making a positive difference so far. Skubal dominant so far, but only in the bottom of the second. Dodgers up 1-0 at Wrigley Field.
Good start for Tarek Skubal as he has two strikeouts. His over-under tonight was sitting at 6.5. What do you say, Matt? I know we have to really pull hard to talk college football, but we're going to do it anyways. Let's welcome in Joe DeLeon, who joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And Joe, there's been a lot of excitement surrounding the Oregon Ducks heading into this season. Handful of folks that I know think they're going to win the national championship. If you look at our VSiN college football betting guide, a number of people have them winning the title there too. When you look at this Ducks squad, what future jumps out to you with Oregon heading into 2026?
Yeah, I've been really shocked by the fact that Oregon doesn't lead the odds to win the Big Ten on some books for 2026. You see Ohio State in a lot of places, and it was reflected in today's coaches poll when it was released. I don't understand why more people aren't buying into this Oregon squad. They have the best roster for me, front to back. I look at every single position group, and the argument could be made for the Ducks to have a top five position group at every single unit, except for their offensive line, because they put some guys into the league. But when you have a potentially elite tandem with DeCorian Moore and Evan Stewart at wide receiver and Dante Moore returning and turning away the NFL, this team has what it takes to break through and to reach a national championship and potentially win it this upcoming year. I just, at the very simple aspect of this, I think that they're winning the Big Ten. As good as Ohio State has been consistently over the past few years, I'm buying into what Oregon has on this roster. But most importantly, we've been seeing lately a lot of coaches break through finally after they've struggled to win titles and maybe just missed the mark. I think Dan Lanning's finally prepared to do it in 2026.
Joe, it's good to hear you say that. I picked Oregon to win the Big Ten, not Ohio State. Do you see a bit of a decline in Ohio State, especially on the defensive side with so much talent gone to the NFL? We know the Buckeyes reload, they don't rebuild, but do you think Ohio State could possibly take a small step back?
I don't think they're going to take a step back just for the fact that they are bringing back a lot on offense. Yeah. I think that there's going to be an addition by subtraction with Hartline gone and Arthur Smith coming in to call the plays. Hartline's a great wide receivers coach, but I don't think he was a very good play caller. He had some brutal decisions in critical moments in their biggest games in the Big Ten championship game and against Miami. Bad. I really think that cost them. I think Arthur Smith's going to pound the rock. There's going to be probably a lot more play action, building the offense around that, some pressure off of Julian Sain's shoulders. But I just don't want to make the mistake like I did last year of assuming that, you know, a bunch of big name guys going to the NFL, that there's going to be a lot to replace on defense. And albeit Arvell Reese, Sonny Styles, Caden McDonald, and Caleb Downs, they're all gone. They all moved on to the league. There's five stars in the wings. There are guys that are up and coming. Like Devin Sanchez, for example, who's a five-star corner, long, twitchy, ridiculous athlete. I think that he's going to merge into a future star in college football. And he's one of those guys that was waiting for his shot to play. But I think that they're, with the difficult schedule, going to finish 10-2. And I think that they're capable of going on a run in the CFP, but I just don't think that they're going to be the team to win the Big Ten this year, because Oregon is the most equipped, kind of like they were 2 years ago, to win the conference.
Yeah, and that was before Oregon came back and got blown out by Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. I recall that. That was a shocking result in that game in Pasadena. You know, you bring up a good point. Buckeyes had some horrendous play calling against Indiana in that Big Ten title game in Miami in the playoffs last year. This Ohio State offense is going to be off the charts. So that's one thing when you try to power rate this team. The personnel on the Ohio State offense is incredibly impressive. Talk about Texas. Now, we're going to see Ohio State and Texas play in week two. Last year, I believe the Longhorns outgained Ohio State by about 100, 120 yards in that first game, but there was some pathetic play calling by Steve Sarkisian in that game. Some pathetic play by Arch Manning in that game. But you're going to buy into Texas this time around. And what convinces you about the Longhorns this season?
Yeah, I think that in comparing them to Georgia, who Georgia has better odds right now to win the SEC, they have better odds to win a national championship of the SEC teams. Mm-hmm. And I think that I have less questions about Texas than I do Georgia, which sounds a little crazy considering what you just alluded to, that first half of the year, they were out of sync. A lot was on Arch's shoulders. He wasn't ready for the moment. But down the stretch, he improved. We started to see a freer, more confident version of Arch play at a high level. They went and got Cam Coleman, who is potentially a top 10 pick at receiver in the upcoming draft, who had nobody throwing to him at Auburn and still made some unreal plays. There's a potential with the addition of Melvin Ciani from Wake Forest that they have two offensive linemen that get picked in the first round of next year's draft. So going from being a huge liability to potentially a major strength for this team. And I really like the creativity of going and getting Relik Brown and Hollywood Smothers at running back to just to try to attack space, kind of like they did 2 years ago when they reached the Cotton Bowl in the Final Four of the College Football Playoff. Trey Wisner and Jaden Blue, they were orchestrated touches in space to allow for the athleticism to win. They just weren't doing a very good job of creating yardage in between the tackles. It just wasn't working. I think that they're going to get back to that. I think that there is going to be a lot more pop and explosiveness with this offense. And I trust their defense, knowing that they've got a five-star secondary loaded on the back end. I like Kiro Kanoo at defensive tackle, and Colin Simmons is arguably the best pass rusher in college football. So this Texas team, Sark's kind of like Lanning. He's got to prove himself. He's got to prove, can he win the big games? Can he win the SEC? Can he beat Georgia? Those things need to be proven. But I love all this talent and the ceiling that is presented to me for Texas.
Joe DeLeon joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Joe, it's the year of the quarterback. I've been saying it all offseason long. The talent that is out there at the quarterback position is so exciting for all college football fans. So you really can't go wrong, at least in the preseason, looking at some of these Heisman odds. What intrigues you about Darian Mensah going to Miami that you think he is worth a Heisman bet right now?
Yeah, I just think that he was a perfect fit for that offense. I think that he was exactly what Shannon Dawson needed to run this team in 2026. And it's kind of a crazy stark difference from him and Carson Beck, where they ran the ball. They were able to do it dominantly, but they really couldn't take shots like we saw two seasons ago with Cam Ward. The amount of deep balls that Ward was taking down the field to Restrepo and others, it made it really, really difficult to keep up with that Miami offense to the point where that was practically their defense. Now this time around, the defense can be better, but Mensah has just such a pretty deep ball. He's very different than Cam Ward. He's not going to be as nonchalant, casual, improvising like Cam Ward did, but watching him throw those deep balls along the sideline to Cooper Barcade, who came with him to Miami, is nuts. It's pro level. I think that that's immediately going to translate to what Dawson is going to want to accomplish. And he's got Malachi Toney to throw the ball to. I think that the numbers that he's going to put up are going to be incredibly gaudy. And Cam Ward was good enough to be a Heisman finalist and be recognized, but he couldn't win the award because his team fell short. I think that Mensah, they're going to win the ACC. They're going to win some playoff games. They are a capable team to get to a national championship. The accomplishments will match the stats. And I think that for those reasons, it's a no-brainer that Mensah can win the award.
Joe's on Oregon, plus 260 to win the Big Ten. Texas, plus 330 to win the SEC. Darian Mensah, 10-1 to win the Heisman. Joe, I've got a friend who's a big Oklahoma fan. He's freaking out about how tough the schedule is. We've only got about 40 seconds here. Can you tell him why the Sooners will go over 7.5 wins?
Yeah, I think that number is super low. And considering the fact that they've got the best defense in the SEC, a top two defense in the country just behind Oregon, they're going to be able to win a lot of low-scoring games. But I have a lot of hope that John Mateer is going to improve, get his confidence back after the hand injury. And he's bulked up. I think he bulked up for a reason. I think that they're going to utilize him as a runner. I'm bought all the way in on what the Sooners can do. And I don't think enough people are respecting him right now. That 7.5 total is way too low.
Joe, great stuff. Appreciate the insight. Best of luck with your bets, and we look forward to talking to you down the road, picking your brain on some more college football.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Joe DeLeon. His best bets. We'll get you updated on what's unfolding at Wrigley Field.
Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tarik Skubal has given up a homer, Matt. Overrated. Danzy Swanson solo homer. 1-1 is the score, bottom of the third inning. Tell you what, the Dodgers defense has made about two or three sliding plays defense for Skubal. But Swanson goes yard, a couple of homers so far tonight at Wrigley Field. Dodgers still a decent favorite here, minus $1.67 against the Cubs right now. So 1-1 the score, bottom of the third inning for the Cubs and Dodgers. Miguel Amaya at the plate with one out in the bottom of the third inning.
Well, as you mentioned, Andy Páez in center field has made a couple of nice plays. He's one of the better defensive center fielders in baseball. And his emergence over the last 2 years has been a big boost to the Dodgers. You think about, you remember 3 years ago when James Outman was playing center field for the Dodgers a lot, and Andy Páez took that job and he ran with it. And now you might be saying, whatever happened to James Outman?
Quick update from Yankee Stadium, hashtag Yankees update. Ryan Weathers, 6 scoreless innings tonight, 4 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, 88 pitches. Matt, your favorite phrase, Boone goes to the bullpen. And that is where we sit right now. Top of the 7th, Cardinals do have a man on third with 2 outs, and Boone has gone back to the bullpen.
When Boone goes to the bullpen, a lot of times the game blows up on the Yankees, and they are minus 1060 right now on the live line. Cardinals, hold on here. Got to get this updated. Let's see. Yankees are minus 1060, Cardinals plus 730. And we talked about this last night when the Yankees took a 7-6 lead and they went to minus 630. Might be a decent idea to bet live against that Yankees bullpen. We'll see how it works out tonight. It worked out pretty well last night.
Pete Crow Armstrong against Skubal, quite the matchup. First matchup went the way of Tarik Skubal with a strikeout at the knees. Really nice fastball on a 2-2 pitch. And 0-1 count right now for PCA against Skubal. Bottom of the third. Once again, the Cubs on the board here in the bottom of the third with a Dansby Swanson home run, his 17th of the season. Matt, good news over at Yankee Stadium. Yankees get out of the jam. Boone works his magic, if you will.
They got one out.
The Philadelphia Phillies, you know, a team that we talked about yesterday, Matt, who would have the firepower to knock off the Los Angeles Dodgers in a 5 or 7-game series, and we discussed the possibility of the Philadelphia Phillies. Luis Arraez is in the lineup tonight, and wouldn't you know it, Matt, he's made his presence felt with authority, Nuclear Loose style. RBI single in the first, RBI double in the third, 2-for-4 for the new Philly as he was batting cleanup tonight, and the Phillies up 5-0 on the Washington Nationals as they head to the 9th inning. How about Jesus Luzardo? 8 scoreless innings tonight against the Nats, and he went 98 pitches, 7 strikeouts. Phillies looking to improve to 61-53. The Washington Nationals are headed in the wrong direction at this point in time, Matt. I unfortunately don't think we're going to get there unless they completely fall off the face of the earth, but they are currently in the midst, the Nats are, in a 6-game losing streak, and this road trip could not be going any worse. 4-game sweep at Atlanta, and they're going to drop the first 2 games against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Pete Crow Armstrong just singled and stole second. I'll tell you what, the Cubs have started to zero in here on Skubal. They've started to hit him a little bit. Like I said, good defense behind him tonight has kept this a 1-1 game so far. We got Suzuki at the plate with a runner on second. We'll see what the Cubs can do with this opportunity.
Elsewhere around Major League Baseball
tell
here.
You what, the Red Sox. Whew. Red Sox up 7-1, minus 3,000. Total is 12.5 at Fenway Park tonight. You talked about Luis Arraez. He was traded from the Giants to the Phillies. He's batting 324 when he was traded. It's funny. I thought the Yankees should have really made a big push to deal for Arraez and put him in the leadoff spot. The Phillies got him batting fourth in the lineup tonight.
Elsewhere on Major League Baseball, Matt, you mentioned the Red Sox. They have been rolling along, 7-1 lead right now for the Boston Red Sox. Hey, just a reminder, folks, this time of year, we're getting you ready for football, and The sharp money is already moving. Here's how the sharp plays see it first. Exclusive data feeds from four major sportsbooks, thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it is filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. Every play logged, every result public, records going back to 2011. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the sharp money at sharpplays.com.
I would think according to what Jeff Sherman said when he was on with us earlier, the Cubs qualify as a sharp play tonight, right?
As Seiya Suzuki walked and now men on first and second, Matt, bottom of the third inning, and we will see if the Chicago Cubs can break it open here, if you will, against the Dodgers. Dodgers still a favorite at -139. Cubs down to +121 as stepping to the plate here with two outs and two on in the bottom of the third inning for the Chicago Cubs is Alex Bregman. So Ken Bregman have a big spot here, Matt, to give the Cubs a lead against Tarik Skubal, as Skubal a bit off the mark. It looked like he was dialed in, and now running into a little bit of trouble here in this third inning.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Bregman, I believe, before his first plate appearance, he was batting 6-for-12 in his career against Skubal. So I think Skubal wants to try to pitch around him here, but the problem is if you do that, you're going to load the bases. Two outs, 2-0 count, and we'll see. This is a spot where is he going to come with a strike? If he is, this is Bregman's chance to probably the best pitch he's going to see here, and this at-bat's going to be right here.
So far in this
there it
game,
is.
And he popped it
and
up.
And he grooved. Oh, that was right down the middle. Man. He grooved it, and he flies out to center field. Oh, okay.
What an opportunity. 2-0 pitch down the plate, and he pops it up. Dansby Swanson goes yard after three innings. At Wrigley Field, Skubal's debut, he has four strikeouts. So if you play the over on Skubal, off to a good start. Over-under was 7.5, juiced to the under. Matt, we mentioned it. Let's play it right now. Chris Rose, longtime MLB personality, was on with, I forget who he was on with. We'll get the courtesy here in just a moment. But Chris Rose was not too pleased by what the Milwaukee Brewers did or didn't do at the deadline, speaking about Mr. Skubal there.
All these people flooding our comments section from the late night Saturday show and the one I did earlier today with Dalton that's saying, well, we can't give up these prospects. It's the lifeblood of the Brewers and Rays organizations. That is such I cannot stop. I mean, I've had enough of it. Enough. I went back to 2017 when Christian Yelich was traded to the Brewers. Do you know that the Brewers gave up their first, their like fourth, their seventh, and like a 16th or 17th best prospect? Now, I know that Yelich was under control. He ended up getting the extension, so it's a different thing. People will say, we can't do it for just a two-month rental. Really? How many World Series have the Brewers won? Oh, you could even throw the Rays in there. I'll combine them. How many World Series have those two franchises won? Anybody? That's correct, nerd boy. Zero. So why don't we try something different? You know what's definitely on? Do you think that Dustin May is going to line up and everybody's going to be like, hell yes, that guy's going to pitch game two because Kyle Harrison's arm has fallen off. So now we have to trot out Dustin May in game two of the NLCS against the Dodgers. And you know who he's going to face? Tarik Skubal, and that's going to be a problem for the Brewers. I love the Brewers. They are a tremendous story. The idea should not be just to survive. It should be to advance.
Agree, disagree with Chris Rose, by the way, that was via Talkin' Baseball.
Never miss the show. Never miss it. You know, I agree with him. I thought the Brewers should have been more aggressive, like we said. You got Miz at the top of the rotation, and you've got a chance to win a World Series, which is something the Brewers have not been able to say very often over the years. You got to try to capitalize on this when you got a team that's capable of winning it all. They had the best record in baseball, right, last year?
Yep.
Of course, they got knocked out by the Dodgers, but that's why you can't let the Dodgers get Skubal, and you got to make the move to get him. And I still don't think the package of prospects that the Dodgers gave up to get Skubal was all that impressive.
And why did the trade have to happen on Saturday night? By the way, speaking of those Brewers, they do have a 3-2 lead right now. Jackson Churio, Andrew Vaughn have both homered, but the Pirates just homered in the top of the fifth. 3-2, Brewers with the lead. Let's talk a little more college football. Let's go behind the counter with Matt Grill of DraftKings Sportsbook next.